This podcast is brought to you by High Five Tom, a proud family member of
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
And honored to be part of
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Revelry with Will and High Five Tom.
And then maybe you just say hi to him if you can, if possible.
It's impossible. It's impossible to say hi. Hi, Tom. Wish you were here. You have a good friend, Sarah, who's bought you this limited edition, one of only a couple left here in Winnipeg, and Manitoba.
Also, he does have a podcast. He talks about you all the time. He talks very highly of you on there.
That's good.
So I just wanted to join me, give you one of those.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
One. All right, what up, High Fivers? It's your boy, High Five Tom, in Derry, New Hampshire's own Will Mercer. Will, how are you tonight, my friend?
I thought about changing my screen name, but for the people who listen to this podcast, I will always be Derry, New Hampshire's own Will Mercer. Tom, I'm eating some, it's almost a borderline, it initially was Alfredo, but I threw some tomatoes and broccoli in it, so I feel like I could give it a fancier name. But it's good. It was a good day. I got my Swamp Thing box that came in the mail today.
Oh, wow.
So now I'm just in the limbo of there's a Kickstarter I backed and all the books, apparently it should be in everybody's hands, and I still don't have mine. Which has happened to me before, but this was for two hardcover books. So I'm trying to be patient because it's the mail. And at the same time, I've been burned before.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder, because our downstairs neighbor, our friend Robert, works for the post office. I wonder if our mail's so good because, like, he has an in.
Right.
Like, we get stuff super. I mean, like, that thing that last thing you sent me was, I got 2 days earlier than you thought I was going to get it. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe we know people and we didn't even know it. But real quick, on a somber note, I don't really talk about real life things on here very often, but obviously I've mentioned Stanley Idaho pretty much every episode of Ring of Honor Revelry. And I don't know if I actually talked about this, but the lodge I worked at last month had been evacuated for a fire. Everyone's okay. They're back open and everything. But now, the town of Stanley is threatening from being burned down. They are working on evacuating the town. It's actually the largest fire in the nation. So yeah, if you check out any of the pages for Stanley, Idaho, it's kind of scary, it's kind of shitty. A friend of mine may or may not have lost his home. I know one guy lost his home, got some cousins, you know, places that are in there. So I'm gonna put a link in there. I know money's tight for people, and no one listening to this probably even lives in Idaho. But yeah, there is a GoFundMe for the fire department I used to be with. So any thoughts or shares of that would be appreciated. But yeah, send some positive vibes. It's a pretty shitty situation. The fire's at, I think, 3,000 acres at this point. So, yeah, I know it's kind of somber, but yeah. Any thoughts, or, you know, and if anyone can make any donations or anything, you know, it's a town of 63 people, so obviously, you know, the all the EMS is completely donation based, so they don't get any tax money or anything. So.
You know what else you got, Tom? You got a hometown show this week on Ring of Honor Revelry.
That we do.
At the Turner Ballroom.
Yeah, world famous.
I'm gonna see it someday.
You are. You are.
I'm gonna do the Triple H picture with it where I point at it.
Well, we'll see if he can get you inside. I think they might do tours and stuff like that, so.
See if I can hang myself from the rafters like Mark Briscoe.
Yeah. But Will, we should probably bust out a couple of questions of dishonor here real quick.
You want to open up some questions of dishonor?
Yeah. And we'll save Rob's Hudson Hawk one for next week.
So if you're interested in Hudson Hawk, tune in next week.
Yes.
Or also for Death for Dishonor Night 2. But also the Hudson Hawk.
Yeah. And make sure you do check out on Visionaries Global Media, like the great Hudson Hawk review that Graham and I did a couple weeks ago. So,
all right, Tom, who do we want to start with?
Let's do SJ's first.
All right, SJ wanted to know if we were to have a Ring of Honor wrestler narrate our life, who would we choose?
It's got to be a wrestler. So, I mean, because I mean, it's hard not to pick Kevin Kelly or Steve Corino.
I mean, Steve Corino does wrestle for Ring of Honor.
That he does. He's done more matches than Kevin Kelly since we started this. But I'm going to try and stick with an actual wrestler. You know, and now like Kevin Steen's gone, can't pick him. And obviously, Mark Briscoe is the answer to every other question.
I mean, there was no date or time. So, I mean, it just said Ring of Honor wrestler. So, I mean, you have, you know, if you want low key to narrate your life.
For homicide. I'm going to stick with the current, you know, 2014 Ring of Honor roster. And I'm going to go with Adam Cole.
Babe.
I just think he would be the most professional.
And just Tom, I'm gonna pick one half of our Death Before Dishonor commentary team. Current Ring of Honor commentator, Caprice Coleman.
No, it'd be tough. I mean, Caprice is really good at what he does.
He is really good at what he does. I was jazzed when he was on like the first half of the card.
Yeah.
The little nod later on with Reno always being afraid that somebody's gonna take his gig as color commentator.
Yeah. Do we ever figure out why Caprice left wrestling the first time? Like you said, they were talking, then he made this big comeback and stuff like that. Do we ever figure out what happened?
I've never looked into it.
So maybe Brendan will let us know. He knows pretty much everything. So, and shout out to Brendan. Great get on the Madman Pondo guest. That was a lot
of fun. Yes, that was a fun episode.
You know, it was a good reprieve from all the shit going on in the real world and on my end of the world. So kind of a disappointed in the pants shitting story though. I thought he would have something a little better. But the doctor's pressing on a shit bag was pretty funny. Yeah, SJ, I'm going to pick Adam Cole.
Maybe.
He's going to narrate just, you know, I think he'd be even keel. I think he would not outshine me as a character. You know, that why, I mean, obviously Mark Briscoe would be great, but I mean, he could definitely kind of be overbearing. So I'm going to make this all about me.
You didn't want to pick Silas Young.
No. He's not average.
No, just the rest of the inhabitants of Milwaukee are. But, you know, he's still there, Tom, so.
Yes, he is. So, actually, it's funny, he lives in Michigan now.
Ooh.
Yeah, I guess he's moving back next spring, but that's something else, but. But yeah, shout out to SJ, our social media specialist. Make sure you are following her on the Carnival of Chaos. Also, SJ has been on Good Cop, Bad Cop. She did a great review of 2012 with me. And maybe we'll get some SJ Will content here sometime in the near future. The same, yeah, pretty much the queen of visionaries global media. But Will, what was what's one
Is
of
she
Rob?
the first lady, Visionaries Global Media?
That's probably a better way to put it, yeah. Definitely the first lady, yep.
Keeping it in the Ring of Honor realm.
Yeah, and obviously shout out to Maria Kanellis and all of her health struggles. It seems like she's gotten some good news with everything that's going on with her. So best of luck with Maria Kanellis in the real life. She's super nice. Two times I talked to her, so definitely not, the character she portrays. So, but Will, what do we have from Mr. UTT Rob as him and Dan Griffin are working through giant haystacks and Big Daddy to Wembley Stadium, 18 million people.
18 million people is a lot of people, Tom.
Yeah, and I do owe those guys an apology. I was not subscribed to the One Man's Meat podcast, so I'm getting caught up on that. So I know there's something going on with Bret Hart on episode 103, so getting caught up on that. So sorry, guys.
So, as we alluded to earlier, there is a second question that we're going to answer on next week's episode. The question we're answering today is, with all the talk of hot dogs and handshakes from our Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies watch along, which we would encourage you to watch along. Don't listen to it without watching the movie, because I mean, you could. It'd be a choice. Seems like something you'd kind of want to have the movie there with you, but
Yeah, there's a lot of pregnant pauses because we're just flabbergasted in a good way.
so he wants to know, first of all, who would have the hot dog gimmick, which is Evil Cheeseburger? And then who would win a hot dog eating contest?
Evil cheeseburger. I don't know why Tadarius Thomas is picking into my mind, but no, that's too low hanging fruit.
I'm going to go for Artie Evans.
Ah,
Of Artie Evans be my evil hot dog.
the streak.
I mean, he is kind of an evil hot dog.
Yeah, he kind of looks like him. He's tall and lanky.
He does the comedy stuff well. He's
Yeah.
sound enough in the ring. Have an Artie Evans cheeseburger feud.
All right, and Evil Cheeseburger. I don't know why. It just the first person that came to mind is Darius Thomas, but I don't know. I don't have a reason for that.
You just gotta go with your gut, Tom. Sometimes you don't have a reason.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go to Darius Thomas. I just think he'd be a lot of fun. He's definitely showing kind of a mean streak, as a bad guy. Yeah, so for no really rhyming reason, I'm gonna go to Darius Thomas.
All right, and who would win a hot dog eating contest?
Now, Will and I discussed this in one of our record timing shortest pre-production meetings. By the way, Faith made a really good quinoa salad, so that's what we had for dinner tonight.
Ooh, I like quinoa salad.
Well, when you guys come visit, we'll definitely make you some. Yeah, it's good. Well, speaking of Stanley, it's from a quick book I got from there. So that was another fundraiser. Now we were talking, and like I said, I mean, the first person that came to mind was obviously Michael Elgin.
Mean, he works out all the time. You gotta keep the food intake coming in. You gotta get those calories in.
But then you see the guy who's the world hot dog eating champion, Joey Chestnut, or oh, the other guy, not Joey Chestnut, the other guy.
I mean, if you go based on the numbers, it's still Joey Chestnut.
Okay, but then there's that one guy, it's like super thin.
Yeah, the Kobashi guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're gonna be eating hot dogs on Netflix. Because something happened. I read about it in the hot dog book that people should read. I don't remember the proper name of it is, but you know what I'm talking about. And it's something where it's like to do with advertisers and whatever. And so Joey Chestnut can't compete on like the televised hot dog eating contest. So now it's going to be picked up by Netflix. This is a one-on-one contest with him and Kobayashi.
Why can't he compete on TV?
He has beef with the advertisers.
I like his style. And I like your
Dude, eats a lot of fucking hot dogs.
choice of words there, saying he's got beef with the advertisers. Get
He
it out.
does. He's got beef, pork, and chicken all blended together in a slurry and put in a tube shape.
I mean, it's tough not to pick a guy like, Hansen or Elgin.
Yo, Hansen's only a spry 275.
But I might.
I could see Hansen putting down some hot dogs at the cookout, though. You're right.
But Will, I think I'm going to steal your answer for the evil hot dog, the evil cheeseburger. I think R.D. Evans. Just a tall, inky ass.
I'd be curious to see how many he actually eats and how many he somehow finds a way to dump off the plate and claims that he's eating.
Yeah, I mean that R.D. Evans is a character, so yeah, I'm going with R.D. Evans. What are you thinking, Will?
I like your thought of Hanson. Can I pick the Briscoes as a unit? Because I bet the Briscoes could put away some dogs.
Yeah.
And you know they load up with all the toppings too.
Yeah. Ooh, good nose. No structures were lost today in the fire.
That's good.
They got 893 people on this fire wheel.
Got to be all people from like the surrounding communities, right? Because they don't have.
No, it's they call, I mean, this is no, it's a national thing. They have yeah, these are people that do this for a living. So yeah, this is a national, they call in, shit, I can't remember the name of her. I mean, they're hotshot crews.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like my friend Lori, she had a bunch of friends from Arizona that were dispatched for the morning, that redfish. So yeah, no, this is people from all over the country that they're, yeah, this is what they're paid to do. It's a fucking process, but sorry, I was looking at something else and that popped up. So you're picking the Briscoes. I mean, those two eating hot dogs would be a fucking blast. Maybe we can hire Mark Briscoe like after December of 2031. Maybe we can have Mark do the narrate the life of the podcast. So
See if he'll read a couple lines of Shakespeare for us.
yeah, I still love that idea. So, but we've got a question, and once I know we say this every fucking week, but once again, shout out to Brundon, the newest member of the Shining Wizards. Oh, it came in for like a half a second.
Son of a bitch, I'm not trying it again. We'll figure this out.
Maybe someday we'll get like a soundboard.
I mean, that's really the only sound effect we use. So, I mean, at least it would be a very organized soundboard.
Yeah. Yeah, people really don't like the road rage one, so that's good. So this glad we haven't had a road rage one in a while.
Oh, Brendan likes the road rage one.
Right, fair enough. All right. Well, Brandon's question of just on newer. And my phone died. Surprise, surprise. I mean, it's at 38%. Why wouldn't it just die, Will? Do you have Brenda's question up?
Yeah, it's funny that happened. So yesterday when we were draining the pan out of the oven, it's got like a meter attached to it. So like when to call in like to get a pickup. And it jumped from 80% full to being 100% full. And it's like fascinating. But this normally goes up 3 or 4% a day. And it jumped 20%. and it didn't even take everything out. And then after I started taking everything apart, like I'm gonna go fix it, it went back down. Kind of like my car's check engine light that was on for 2 days and now it's back off. So nothing to worry about.
I mean, the check engine light on our Subi was on for 5 years, so.
I had some of my traction control.
Oh yeah, my mom had
Cause
me.
that popped up too. So I had like check engine light, traction control. That was on for a couple of days. That's off again. It's fine.
Does your car does your Subi have a cruise control?
Yeah, I don't ever really use it, but yeah, it does.
Yeah, because with the check engine light, our cruise control wouldn't work. But yeah, it was literally 5 years. I mean, I changed everything, but the car's originally made in California, so it's got all different weird specs and stuff like that. So it's got like six, it had 602 sensors, but all right, Brendan's question. Stay on task here.
Why would we do that? Why would we stay on task? That's not what people listen to this for. With the return of Nigel this week, who is your favorite return of a wrestler? You can think of that was a surprise.
So it's an actual return, so it wasn't just a surprise in general.
It's a surprise return.
Oh shit. Like it's so tough nowadays. You know, because I mean, because of the dirt sheets and everything.
All right, well, while your hamster wheel is spinning,
And it's spinning.
Brendan said Sandman in ECW after WCW. Enter Sandman hit and the crowd went insane. I got goosebumps. Raven 2 before that was fantastic too.
Did you watch that Nigel clip at all?
Oh yeah, I did. Love to see it.
Yeah, when I first read the question, I was just thinking like surprises. So that's what all my answers were. But now I'm trying to think of a fucking return. Do you have one, Will?
I do. So I didn't see this when it happened, but something that when the clip comes up, I'll watch it a couple times, and it's fascinating how it like. Still gets me, but when Edge returned at the Royal Rumble, said I didn't see that live, but to like watch that clip back and have it still be like you can still feel it, like that like excitement, like you see it on his face, you see it on the people in the crowd's face.
Duh.
Duh.
This one, I mean, well, I have to shoehorn in my weekly shout out to AAW. But recently when Matt Fitchett returned back to AAW, I've been calling that for months, and then it finally happened over at the Windy City Classic to challenge Davey Vega. You can ask a former guest and friend of the show, my good friend Andy. I was standing right next to me when that happened. So, Matt Fitchett, but speaking of returns to AAW, Will. I'm assuming you saw my tweet.
Dun, 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 dun. I don't think it came after that song, but yeah. ACH back in the ring.
He is not paid by the hour. He was in there for about 45 seconds. But it's good to have him back at AAW. You know, he's made a couple return spots here and
Was it
there.
like a rum like a rumble thing? Was he just like thrown out or?
No, some guy called him out or called or so basically they had a six-man scramble and which is an awesome match by the way. A lot of young talent there in AEW. And this guy Ace Perry did not win the scramble and then he got on the mic afterwards and saying, I'm sick of losing, blah 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 blah. And I challenge anyone in that locker room and then yeah, the Loopy Fiasco hit and ACH came out, pile-drived him and left.
Hell yeah.
former triple crown winner, ACH. Yeah. So hopefully we get to do a watch along of ACH and Trevor Lee at AAW sometime in the near future. So, but Will, we've got some Ring of Honor to cover here.
Boy, do we, Tom. We got a lot to talk about.
But let's just start off here with the Ring of Honor TV. This is episode 154. I know it originally aired on August 30th, but obviously this took place before Death Before Dishonor. And that's what I was going back to look when I popped up on my Facebook by accident. Was the thumbnail for this episode was fucking hard. That picture of fucking Roe. That shit was hard in a good way. But start off the episode, Will. We got a War Machine Briscoe's promo. Will, I mean, which of these two teams are more badass? I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. Some two badass fucking teams going right here.
The two Briscoes matches that we watched for this week were both extremely satisfying for different reasons.
Yeah. Kind of showing their versatility.
I was a little disappointed with how the match ended
On TV?
on TV.
Yeah.
Kind of surprised they didn't lead into more, but they also kind of like cut away and whatever. Obviously, yeah. I mean, the tag team division is the hot division right now. Briscoe's want a shot. Jay Lethal hasn't been pinned, or not Jay Lethal. Jay Briscoe hasn't been pinned in 2 years.
He was the last person to pin him.
Yeah.
Charlie Haas.
Hasn't been pinned since.
May 19th, 2012. Yeah, hot opener. Yeah, and then they shoehorn in here, I guess, for finding out that Jay's getting a title shot on September 6th at All Star Extravaganza. So,
All-Star Extravaganza.
And that big show, we gotta figure out how we can watch that Field of Honor thing they had.
I totally forgot all about it until they brought it up on. So I watched Death Before Dishonor first. I want to say Adam Cole or somebody brought that up on.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because he was in a four-way for the championship. That's his rematch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because he got pinned, he's at the back of the line. But yeah, basically, the Briscoes and War Machine beat the piss out of each other. Unfortunately, the match, like Will said, is it's thrown out because they don't really stand in the ring. So I mean, neither team
Well,
lost.
it wasn't they couldn't just stay in the ring. It was they're starting to introduce more stuff. Like chairs were getting brought out, people were getting put through tables. Todd Sinclair made the call to just throw the match out. They still kept going. They didn't stop, but the match was officially called a draw. No contest.
But then we get a quick promo here, and Caprice is going to keep Watanabe on the straight and narrow. I kind of thought that was kind of ironic considering what Watanabe turns into. And then we get a Silas promo here talking about his title shot with Elgin, and Silas basically bullied his way through college. Then we get a tag team match, Will. Streak continues. It's 139 and 0.
It is 139 mil. Artie Evans and Moose take on the Young Boys, Adam Page, Tadarius Thomas.
And sometimes you look at Moose, Will, and you forget that motherfucker's got a hell of a goddamn drop kick.
You don't see people Moose's size throw drop kicks.
Now and that well. And we even saw Adam Page here get a buckshot lariat.
Yeah, he's used it a couple times, but it's not like a finishing move. It's just like a move.
Yeah. Well, he's still young yet,
So it's funny to see now because that now that's his like finishing move. It's like, oh, he was just busting it out as a move.
Yeah, isn't he like a bad guy now?
Who? He is. Apparently he is a heel right now in the AEW.
Good. Good. But Moose Spears Page, but or the blind tag from RD Evans. So RD takes the pin, much to the chagrin of Moose.
Oh, we also didn't mention Prince Nana on the call.
Well, that's right, yeah. And we're in Philly too, by the way. And obviously RD Evans and Prince Nana have a lot of history together, so
Yeah,
we'll see.
there's some jaw jack in there. Veda Scott kind of jaw jacks at Prince Nana as well. They bring up like the history of the embassy, how Prince Nana is the one who found Moose.
I was gonna say, yeah. Yeah, it's 140-0, but after that, BJ comes out and accosts the young boys and obviously slaps Paige and TJ and lots of yelling, blah 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 blah.
Yeah, he keeps telling him, he's like, do something about it. Do something about it.
Yeah.
And they just walk away.
They did something by not doing something. And then they kind of announced the card for this All-Star Extravaganza. God damn, well, this fucking car is stacked.
Tom, did you notice Red Dragon is going to be wrestling at All-Star Extravaganza in Toronto?
Oh, really?
They're wrestling the Young Bucks.
Oh. For now. Interesting.
Right, that could change. We have not seen Red Dragon make a Canadian appearance, so.
Well, we haven't seen Bobby Fish, yeah. So, and then our main event is so obviously we've got Cedric and Elgin. Cedric finally getting his title shot here. Nigel on the call.
Right.
Nigel, Elgin's been kind of spouting off how he's the greatest Ring of Honor champion of all time. Yeah, I don't know what my notes are here, but Michael Wilson wins.
He does when he wins me a beat. He's a real bastard when he wins.
Oh,
Because we can talk about this too. Elgin gets booed in most of his matches.
which is weird.
And to kind of go back to your buddy Nikki Clamp's question, is Michael Elgin the worst Ring of Honor champion? Like, is he's not necessarily bad, but it's just the people that they're having him go up against are just way more over than he is. Because I feel like people were hot when he won, and then it just instantly like cooled off.
Yeah, it might be I know that happened to Tyler Black, and I think it might have happened to Austin Aries. Brenda's kind of talked about it, but maybe they took too long to pull the trigger on it. Cause it's been so fucking long, that he'd been going for that fucking title. Yeah, but he had that leg bar, then the head or kick to the heads.
The stretch muffler.
Yeah. So
Because Cedric came out of the gate fast, and later on, Nigel and Carino speculate that maybe he came out too fast, and that because he couldn't get it done early, he's kind of blown out.
yeah.
Whereas Elgin works at a slower pace anyway, so if the match goes a little longer, it's almost in his favor.
Yeah. I just can't see Cedric being blown up, but I mean, it makes sense. So, yeah, sorry, my notes weren't very good on that. I had meant to rewatch this, but it's been a
Yeah,
week.
Cedric puts up a hell of a fight, but the match ends from a referee stoppage. Elgin catches Cedric. I forget exactly how he caught him. I don't know if he went for move or Elgin just like took him off the top rope, but he catches him and puts on the stretch muffler, and then he stomps on the back of his head. Which, of course, it lines up with commentary being like, "Oh, you could knock somebody out by doing that." And then you see Cedric do like the he like moves his head and closes his eyes, like, "Oh." He's knocked out. They make the stop.
Yeah, so he didn't quit and all that good stuff. So we're still big fans of Cedric. So afterwards, we did get a code of honor. So Michael Logan's been doing that. But I know we kind of blew through this episode real quick because we got a big Death Before Dishonor high pay-per-view here. But we'll what you think of TV this week?
Those are another really, I mean. Things across the board have been good, so it's just another out great episode of TV.
Yeah. But we've got Death Before Dishonor, from
From Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
August 22nd, 2014. But Will, real quick before we dig into that.
So, Tom, what were you doing August 2014?
I was still, it was in my second summer as the man or the front of the house manager for the general store over at Redfish. Yeah, I was preparing for my second trip to South America. Was definitely kind of in a weird headspace. That trip was something else. I don't know if really, I've talked about it a little bit, but
So, you were not down the road from the Turner Ballroom when this event happened.
No. I was not even in the same time zone.
What a bummer. 'Cause could you imagine having the being able to say you were at this show? What a fucking show.
Yeah. My buddy Andy was there.
Andy from our watch along
Yep.
and our
Oh, different Andy. The one,
different Andy.
yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, anyways,
Anyway, Depth 4 and Sonic 12, Night 1, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Turner.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcast, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
If you like your music heavy, then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest-running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is radioactive metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Since we were little kids, we've watched professional wrestling. At first, it was just a little bit, just a taste, drinking it in before we even really knew what we were watching. But as we got older, we needed it more and more. And it didn't matter where we got it from, mid-Atlantic, mid-South, Memphis, world class. At first, it might have been one of those places, but soon, it was all of those places. And then we started dabbling in the international stuff. A little bit of lucha here, a little bit of Japan, the European stuff. It didn't matter where we got it from. It just mattered that we got it. We were addicted to it. And then there came a point where watching it wasn't enough for us. We had to do it. And so we started doing. At first, just a little bit at a time. But soon, we were doing it all the time, 2 times, 3 times, 4 times a week, even more. And just like when we watched it, we started doing it everywhere. And then along came Ring of Honor. It didn't take long for us to realize that when we needed it really, really bad, when we wanted it so bad we could taste it, Ring of Honor was the best place to get it. You see, that was the place where the pure stuff was. The rush that we got from being in a Ring of Honor ring was the best we ever felt. And each time was better than the last. And it's not just like that for us. It's like that for all those fans out there as well. See, they've got that hunger. They've got that need. And we see it in their eyes. We realize that they need us to feed that need, to satiate that hunger. They need to see us against the best of the best in that Ring of Honor ring. And that look in their eyes, that rush that they feel when they watch us walk that aisle, when they watch us do that dance, when they watch us win and win and win again, that's how I know that we're not the addicts anymore. They're the addicts. And us? We're the addiction.
All right. So, yeah, make sure you enjoy all the great shows here on the Shining Wizards Network. In addition to that, I hope you enjoyed that promo from Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. Will, I know you enjoyed. What were your thoughts on this promo from Kaz and CD? These two are so fucking good. This is a really, we were talking about the tag division. Having these two back is fucking great.
I like how the name of the tag team and how it traced, like, we had an addiction, and now we are the addiction.
Yeah.
And they are in our opening contest.
Yeah, and it's, like you mentioned earlier, it's Kevin Kelly and
Caprice Coleman
on the call up in the Crow's Nest up there at Turner Bowl Hall. But yeah, it's the Kingdom. We got Adam Cole and Mike Bennett.
Accompanied by First Lady of Pro Wrestling, Maria Kanellis.
The Kingdom, fresh off a G1 run. I know they had at least one tag team match if not a couple more, at the 2014 G1. I know they won at least one. I had some more notes, but I don't know what I did with them. So, but man, Will, the addiction, they're over, dude.
Oh, incredibly.
Yeah,
Milwaukee. The crowd chanting Kaz and Daniels. Didn't love that, but it fits.
Yeah.
It fits the meter, it fits the clapping.
It's funny, and we'll get to it in 3 years, but, you know, and if you can hear a review of this, well, actually, Chad and Diesel and I did a watch along of this, but when they came back for their unauthorized show in 2017, my first Ring of Honor show, yeah, they came out dressed up as the Legion of Doom and they actually sang Iron Man on the mic as they came out. It was pretty cool. So, yeah, Milwaukee loves the addiction. Yeah, man, these four together are great. I mean, obviously, Bennett and Cole are something else. You know, and obviously Maria's, you know, like the third member of the team. She's always up to some shenanigans. Yeah, but in the end, Will, we got a suplex into the double knees and the addiction get the win.
They do. I love their X-Men inspired gear.
Yeah.
Christian, I also love how both of their the songs they use, because they didn't come out to Bennett's song, they came out to Adam Cole's song. Very sexy songs.
Yeah. Wasn't Christian Daniels wearing a Wolverine t-shirt like in the promo too, if I'm not mistaken?
It's possible.
I thought I saw it. I mean, it could be.
Something. I wasn't paying that much attention to his t-shirt.
But another match that Brundon, I'm sure, would enjoy. TD Tadarius Thomas.
He's brought to the ring, Tom. Who, you know, and Jimmy Jacobs talks about how, you know, we gotta teach these kids some respect. We gotta teach these kids a little tough love. Tom, who does Jimmy Jacobs bring down to teach Tadarius Thomas a lesson?
Crap Iron Adam Pearce.
Sorry, this is before he scrapped Daddy, Adam Pearce. This guy looks like a problem.
Yeah. Like, if you're a younger fan of wrestling and you just know Adam Pearce, and listen, I'll admit, I didn't know much about Adam Pearce, but that watch-along we did with that six-man where he got his fucking head split open.
I didn't really know he was a wrestler before that. I mean, until I started doing this podcast, you know, we saw he wrestled Adam Cole really early on in this when he was still an NWA champ.
Yeah.
But now he's here as a former mentor for Jimmy Jacobs.
Yeah, because I mean he clotheslined Jimmy Jacobs so hard when he was 16 he broke his tooth.
Yep, he gave him a swirly because he didn't know that Ricky Morton did a roll through for the hot tag.
They do love telling that story, but
and they he's here to teach Tadarius a lesson, and most of the decade look pretty satisfied with this. Adam Page does not.
Yeah.
Whenever they cut to the decade, Adam Page looks terribly concerned for the well-being of his friend. Because boy, did his friend get his ass whooped.
Yeah, and that's saying a lot.
I couldn't tell you that he got any offense in at all.
Which is kind of surprising. You know, I was Tadarius is a mixed martial artist, you know, specialist, but
it was downhill from the start, right? He tried to get the code of honor from Adam Pearce and he's like, "Are you joking?" And he suckers him in with it, and Adam Pearce just throws him around, hits him hard, clotheslines him hard, throws him into the barricades hard. TD didn't have a chance.
Yeah, and like I said, every time they cut to Roddy and Jimmy, listen, I mean, their facial expressions were fucking great. Tadarius, towards the end, did get a little offense in, but he starts showboating a little bit. But then Pearce does the classic grab the referee, kicks Tadarius in the dick. And then a pile driver and Tadarius Knight's done. So I'm assuming, you know, the lesson has been learned. Afterwards, there's lots of words and slaps to the head. You know, and basically, you know, Paige and Tadarius, you know, kind of run up on Jimmy and everything. So, but then Jimmy, everyone leaves, and Jimmy says, you can only battle crazy with crazy. And Jimmy calls out Ciampa, who gets a hero's welcome here in Milwaukee. You know, I'm not sure if it's well known that his wife is from Milwaukee at this point. But we also find out here that Ciampa gets the winner of Silas and Elgin for that Ring of Honor championship tomorrow in Chicago Ridge. But Ciampa versus Jimmy Jacobs. Ciampa beats, you know, Jacobs pretty, you know, actually pretty similar what happened to Darius Thomas. Ciampa did to Jacobs. You know, from pillar to post, you know, and obviously these two are tailor made because obviously Jimmy can take a whooping and, you know, Ciampa can give one out. Jimmy's submission game is underrated. In the end, Jacobs grabs the mic, tries to use it as a spike, but it backfires as Ciampa gets it. Hammers him. He does those MMA elbows on him, grabs the mic into a Sicilian stretch, and gets a submission win on Jimmy Jacobs. Will, any thoughts on Ciampa's pretty much dismantling of fucking Jimmy Jacobs here?
No, it worked for him. Ciampa, you know, kind of reeling right now, right? He lost his match against Steen on his farewell tour. Came up short against Michael Elgin for the world. Or no, has he wrestled Elgin?
Not yet.
Night two.
So
the winner of Silas Young versus Mike Elgin will face Tommaso Ciampa in Chicago.
Yeah. But Will, I posted this match on social media. You know, finally your boy High Five Time finally figured out how to do a screenshot here on his laptop. But Will, we got one half of the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions Red Dragon, Kyle O'Reilly, versus the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, AJ Styles. Hard to imagine this match happened like 2 miles down the road from where I used to live.
And what a match it was, Tom. I'll steal your gimmick, Tom. It was a fuck of a match.
Yeah.
Kyle O'Reilly looked like $1 million.
And I guess my good friend Andy said, I guess he had a TNA figure for AJ. He ran into AJ Styles and AJ signed it for him. It's hard to imagine, yeah, the IWGP Heavyweight Champion in a Ring of Honor ring in Milwaukee. I don't have a lot of notes on this, Will, because, I mean, you just got to go back and watch the match.
It's very good. I think it's easy to just be like, of course, this is great because it's an AJ Styles match. But Kyle O'Reilly really got to shine in this match. Because I feel like with the Red Dragon shtick, like, they're good wrestlers, but I think you kind of get away from the fact that they're both really good wrestlers because you don't see them on their own a ton.
Yeah.
So this was, I think, a great showing for Kyle O'Reilly.
The only thing that took me out of the match, though, was Bobby didn't necessarily interfere, but he definitely made his presence known. It would have been nice if it just been Kyle out there on his own. Usually, I mean, I'm all for what Bobby does, you know, on the outside and everything, but I think this match did not need that. You know, we got in, you know, there was an arm bar into a Styles clash. I even got
The ending where he hits him with a hollow point and drops him on his head.
Into a style. And then he hit that, yeah, that hollow point pile driver. Basically, the Styles Clash pile driver into the Styles Clash. Jesus fucking Christ. Obviously, AJ retains, but yeah, like Will said, Kyle O'Reilly, a beast. You know, and I've said it once, and I'll say it 100 times. You know, one of the things that got me into wrestling in general when I got back was Kyle O'Reilly versus Kushida, Best of Super Juniors Finals 2015.
Yeah, I don't think the title was on the line, but, you know, imagine Kyle O'Reilly gets a pinfall victory over the IWGP Heavyweight champion.
That's gonna do. That's gonna give him some cred. But yeah, Kyle O'Reilly is so good. And it sounds like he's starting to shine a little bit in AEW right now with Mark Briscoe, so that's good. But we were scheduled for a 6-man scramble match, but Adam Cole comes back out. He's upset. As his rematch was a 4-man scramble where he got pinned, and now he's at the back of the line. What the fuck is that? You know, he says all the former Ring of Honor champions are great, but not as good as him. And then he super kicks ref Brian Goring, and then leaves the ring. And then we get our 6-man scramble match, Will.
We do.
And I got tracked down, but I think, I really think that Jay Lethal and ACH have some legitimate beef.
Well, they're both in this match, Tom, and they're going to meet at All Star Extravaganza.
They sure are.
With no time limit.
Oh, no shit. I didn't know that part.
Yep, Nigel said no time limit on the rematch because they don't want what happened to happen again.
Nice. But obviously Adam Page is in the match, but BJ, you know, obviously Carino says BJ stands for Bully Jerk. We got Cedric Alexander, we got Bobby Fish, ACH, Carino's third favorite Hardy, and Lethal, the greatest first generation wrestler. Basically, this is a Lucha Libre rules match. If the legal person goes out, someone else can come in. You know, and this is before the match, like I mentioned, ACH and Lethal are getting chippy. I do love that. You know, we get ACH versus Page, and then we get ACH versus Lethal. Or not Lethal, excuse me, Bobby Fish. Any one of those matches, I would love to see one-on-one. Hopefully get more of those. I don't know if you saw it, Will, but Lethal tried hitting the Lethal combination on Cedric Alexander, but somehow he, like, flipped out of it. That was really fucking cool. And then and the next thing I know, just all hell broke loose in a good way. People are diving because the match was a little quiet, but all of a sudden ACH and Cedric start diving out of the ring and the fucking crowd lost their mind.
Right, and the dives are great. Like the unassisted jump, they're not touching the ropes on the way over.
That's bananas. It was funny. I was looking in the crowd. I didn't know there were only like 4 or 5 people I recognized. So I was kind of surprised.
I don't remember if we said, but Bobby Fish is in this match too.
Yeah.
Bobby so is. he's not in it a ton because he does end up eating, like they said, most of the 2 dives to the outside. But Tom, we got to talk about the end of this 6-man scramble match.
There's one spot where Whitmer and Page were in the ring, and Adam Page is trying to tag out, and everyone like jumps off the apron. I thought that was pretty funny. Oh, that's what preceded all this. Yeah, because then Page eats the pin for Whitmer, and then all 4 guys jump in.
It was going to be the old, not quite the finger poke of doom, but Adam Page was going to lay down and take the 3.
No. But Will, what happened at the end of the match?
No, Tom, there was really nothing on the line for this match except for you run, right. You get some momentum. But what happens when it's ACH pinning your television champion in the middle of the ring with a German suplex? 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
So things are looking good for ACH. Crowd loves him. The match from last week with Jaylith and ACH was amazing. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do for All Star Extravaganza.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that's without a
no time limit.
Yeah, that's fucking dope. Yeah, ACH with a big pin. But after that, Will, we've got Roderick Strong versus Hanson. And you know, it's in a rare singles match for Hanson.
Ray Rowe out of commission for a while with him from a motorcycle accident.
Oh shit, I missed that. Really?
It was supposed to be a tag team match.
Oh. Okay.
So Hansen weighs in at 275 pounds.
Great.
That's 10 pounds less than me. Again, putting Hansen in these great positions to really show the caliber of worker he is. The stuff with War Machine has been good, but again, like we were just talking about, getting a little solo outing, especially in somebody like Roderick Strong, where like, if you can hold your own with Roderick Strong, like you made it.
Yeah, I mean, not only holding his own, but I mean, obviously, there's a little bit of fuckery, because Adam Page is out there, but and listen, it was Roger's obviously a great opponent for Hanson, so he can showcase Hanson what he can really do against a guy like Roddy. Sorry, and then
Yeah, there's a couple times Paige tries to help Roddy and it doesn't quite go the right way, and there's some arguments, right? Because at one point Roddy had Hansen pinned,
Yeah.
but the referee was distracted.
By Adam Page.
Adam Page tried to slide in a chair, which Roddy was on board to use, but the ref was starting to come to, so he's trying to slide it back out. And it's enough of a distraction for Hansen to hit that spin kick of doom.
One, two,
Two,
three.
three.
Hanson gets the pin on former Ring of Honor champion Roddy Strong. And I do want to mention Roddy hit a gut buster and also a sick kick on Hanson, both of which he kicked out of. But yeah, like you had mentioned, this is a good showcase for Hanson. I did not realize that Raymond Rowe was out with a motorcycle accident, so hopefully he comes back soon. But obviously there's some dissension in the decade.
There is. It's where I think we're starting to get towards that boiling point where Adam Page maybe leaves the decade.
Yeah, I wonder if that kid, what that kid's gonna do afterwards. I wonder if he can find a spot. But after that, Will, we get a promo from the Briscoes, and this promo you can hear right here.
Been a couple years now, Young Bucks, since we got to do this thing in the Square South. Last time we wrestled the Young Bucks one-on-one, or two-on-two, should I say, I recited some poetry for y'all.
It was beautiful.
Well, I don't think they took it the right way, though. So now that y'all all old and grown up and some badasses, let me go ahead and bless y'all with this. Give me something, chicken. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, home of the Brewskis. Sandy Fork Stone versus the Young Buck Brewskis. Ain't no ain't no like Matt Hardy. Them boys here versus the Super Kick Party. And the hell with y'all super kicks, by the way. Y'all might get super kick. Guess what? I can super kick too. I don't give a damn. I'll super kick your head off, Jackson boys. Watch this. Watch this. I'll super kick your head off.
Well, I hope everyone enjoyed that promo. Will, what did you think of this promo?
I did not have beatboxing Mark Briscoe and rapping Jay Briscoe on my 2014 Ring of Honor bingo card. But you know what, Tom?
I'm here for it.
I'm here for like the match. This is why I love pro wrestling. I am a big tag team wrestling person. It doesn't get any better than the Briscoes versus the Young Bucks.
No, and
Two brother tag teams, they, as alluded to in commentary, very different ways, being raised by Papa Briscoe and Daddy Jackson. Yeah, at least he wasn't Joe Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was funny. You know, obviously we have the benefit of hindsight. This rivalry is pretty much going to carry Ring of Honor for the next 4 years. These four are destined to fight forever. You know, it kind of sucks that we never got, I don't know. I mean, maybe not, because their last match together was fucking ridiculous. Still one of my favorite matches of all time. This match is ruled. You know, and these four had chemistry right off the bat. You know, in this rivalry. You know, Carino has some less than stellar comments about the Briscoe family, which I thought was kind of weird. Because, you know, I mean, obviously he's kind of a heel commentator, but not sometimes. Crowd's definitely split. You know, it's definitely 50-50 for the Bucks and 50-50 for the Briscoes. You know, and then Steve Carino's dick riding the first place Brewers at the time. And
he's apparently got his Brewers hat on.
Yeah, so I'm going to
how does this make you feel, knowing the Brewers were number one at the time?
Oh, it just brings up a lot of bad memories, because they pretty much shit the bed after this, cost Ron Wernicke his job. They went 8-22 shortly after this match. Went from first place to out of the playoffs completely. So I personally blame Steve Carino for that. Which I thought was kind of funny you mentioned that too, because it was one of their biggest collapses ever. But Jay, doing that gorilla press into the Death Valley driver, that's a new, I've never seen that before. Have you ever seen something like that before?
No, but I mean, it's, you don't think necessarily the Briscoes of being like the innovative offense. But especially with the Young Bucks, right? Because the Young Bucks' whole shtick is flashy,
yeah,
tag team moves. You know, you got your Indie Taker, you got your Meltzer driver, you got your more bang for your buck, you got your V trigger. He doesn't do it with the neck breaker yet, but Jay Briscoe did his body slam and he did the ekakak kick.
Yeah. Is the gorilla
The super kick Mark Briscoe took off the apron when he went for the Cactus Jack?
Ooh, yeah.
I'm surprised we didn't see. Jay said he was going to throw super kicks. No super kick from Jay Briscoe.
Yeah, Mark, those couple suplexes onto the hardest part of the ring.
Oh, yeah, because he threw both of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was vertical suplex to I want to say it was a vertical suplex to Nick, and then the back suplex on Matt.
And I'm gonna put this out there for anybody. Will, do you know, is the Gorilla Press Slam, is that named for Gorilla Monsoon?
I think so.
Man, that guy's got a position and a body slam named after him. So if we're not slide into those DMs. Nick eats a J driller, kicks out. But then
I couldn't believe it. Kicked out of the J driller.
But he's definitely not kicking out of that doomsday device. And the Briscoes win. I almost said retain, but there was no belts on the line. But a code of honor here. You know, obviously these guys shake hands, and you know, the Young Bucks are the young brash upstarts and everything, and they still shake hands. So, like we were talking about earlier, Will, tag team division, and they say, I forgot, we got the Kingdom, too. We're just missing the Bravado Brothers. So.
That's a weird one. They just kind of, like, left.
Yeah, and like I said, if it wasn't for AJ and Kyle O'Reilly, this probably would have been the match of the night. Maybe the match of the weekend. I guess we'll find out tomorrow, but. But Will, after that, I don't know if you caught it too, so I guess this is going to be a road rage episode.
Because Kevin Kelly kind of shouts out the fact that, you know, something about TV. So I was like, oh, great. But hey, shit, I can watch this match again.
It was almost hard to believe this wasn't the main event. I kind of thought the show was over. I'm like, oh, maybe the title match is on night two. No. This was just the co-headliner because the next was our main event.
I mean, you're not gonna deny Silas his title shot in Milwaukee.
Silas Young, Michael Elgin.
Elgin says the real last man. Silas says even well-trained athletes such as Michael Elgin have expiration dates. Big pop for Silas. Obviously, being the hometown, yep. But he still plays the asshole. Yeah,
crowd, not a fan of Elgin at all. Even after Silas Young gets on the mic and says that him winning the heavyweight title is his ticket out of this shithole town. Because he also, Elgin, he's like, you're not anything special. It's like, you're average. Just like all these people are average. And to which the crowd chants, we are average.
Clap, again.
Clap, 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 clap.
That bothers me. Maybe I shouldn't, but, you know, but Will, it's kind of cool. I mean, we saw this match 2 years ago. You know, they had this match in Turner Hall for Bruce City Beatdown. At that time, obviously, no one was knowing what they're expected. You know, if these two beat the piss out of each other, and then, you know.
Yeah, this was hard hitting. Like, Silas Young said, like, he's coming to take this belt. He told him, he's like, you better have slept with that title and spent every minute you possibly could have with it because you're losing it.
Yeah. Yeah, Silas gave it the old college try, but a buckle bomb combination into the match. I kind of wish it would have gone a little bit longer. I was roughly around 20 or so minutes, but yeah, super solid. Just watching these two beat the living piss out of each other. Obviously, you know, you're not going to get a lot of, I mean, obviously they're both very athletic for their sizes, and obviously Silas is much more athletic than you would think by the look at the guy. Yeah, and then Elgin gets on the mic and says, you know, he's the greatest world champion, and tomorrow it's Ciampa and Elgin. Will, any thoughts on the main event that I may have missed?
No, I mean, I hope, I'm sorry if people feel like we're rushing through this. I mean, we just had, there was a lot of good stuff between TV and Death Before Dishonor. We're in a really strong point of the product right now. And, yeah. You know, this is definitely an event worth watching. I'm hoping that momentum carries through tonight, too. But we will see. But yeah, Elgin is retaining. So Elgin's next title match will be a night two against Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah. So, yeah, we definitely, listen, Wilson, we definitely kind of went through this pretty quickly. It was just, it was one of those times like you either we talk a whole for like 6 hours or we just give you a brief overview. If you get a chance, if you got Honor Club, go back and watch this show. If not, watch the tag match and definitely watch Kyle O'Reilly versus AJ Styles. You know, and I think they didn't do Elgin and Silas any favors by putting them just after the Bucks and the Briscoes. They might have wanted to put them a little bit lower on the card. But maybe they weren't expecting those four to blow the, you know, the roof off the place. Yeah, I know we always ask, you know, this is your first time watching, would you keep watching Ring of Honor? But I think we're both in agreement here at this point that, like you said, Will, they're hitting their stride. You can definitely see this.
So I almost thought that this was an episode of TV that I'd seen before when Silas opened up with the I'm sick of these anti-bullying campaigns. So we're going to hit one. It stood out to me. He's going to say, my nephew is complaining about being cyberbullied. So I smash his face with the keyboard. Now he's actually bullied. So when the thing starts, like, here's a PSA from Silas, you know, it's like, have I seen this episode? Like, is this like in the recesses of my mind? No, but we're getting there. Like, we're in that same time frame.
Yeah, you can definitely start because obviously, the indie boom is starting right around now. So, yeah, this is a lot of fun. It'll be interesting to see what we get in Chicago Ridge. It's an easy travel day. It's only 90 minutes down the freeway.
Yeah, and Death Before Dishonored was it was 2.5 hours, and it flew like that was a brisk 2.5 hours.
Yeah, this really kind of felt more like an NXT takeover than, a WWE pay-per-view, which is good. Yeah.
Nothing really overstayed its welcome. They didn't really milk anything for extra time. It's a great show.
Yeah, I know. I wonder where real it was in like real time, because they cut some stuff out a little bit, but yeah, this was a lot of fun. So, but we'll probably time to pull a train into the station here. Do you have any final plugs or anything?
Final plugs. I've decided I'm going to take up the moniker of your friendly neighborhood EOM in honor of your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. So check out a comic book store. Keep an eye out, Josh Olson. We don't have an exact date yet, but he's got books in hands,
He signed it.
ready to be signed. So I don't know. I mean, you could probably follow the link and see if you can still order one. If not, you're going to have a bad case of FOMO when it finally comes around.
I just finally figured out what FOMO means like a month ago.
You all found out, missed out.
Yeah, I've been missing out this entire time,
You
so
know, you know what FIFO is, right?
I don't.
First in, first out.
No.
Or it's FIFO. He's a little mouse that went west.
But yeah, like Will said, make sure you smash that link in the show notes. Make sure you get that book from Josh. So I'm really looking forward to it. Make sure you're following all the great shows on Visionaries Global Media and the Shining Wizards Network. And tweet those questions of dishonor or listen, Will and I might be doing some more stuff on the social media. Like this time we didn't get any comments from our Mark and Jay picture that I posted on Twitter. But if you send some comments in, we'll read them on the air. And you'll definitely get full credit. But Will, my friend, I'll see you next week for Death Before Dishonor.
Night two.
Night two. So it's you said this is Death Before Dishonor 12, right?
Dead before it's on our 12, yes.
That's fucking crazy. God damn. So
That
yes.
means you guys read Death Before Dishonored 22.
Oh shit, yeah, we were. Wow. Yeah.
And I was at Death Before Dishonored 23. Gross.
On that note, Will, I'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.
This has been a Visionaries Global Media production. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.